executive board elections, all seven. Sir. Program committee. Dr. Glaser, would you like to report on the program?
The program committee recommended no changes to the state program.
Thank you. Thank you. The executive board. There are seven positions on the executive board. As always, they are up for election every year. I'm happy. I've been the chair for 8 years. I'm happy to run again if you'll have me. Who else would like to serve? Mr. Blitz, our current vice chair. Mr. Linder, our current treasurer. Dr. Glaser, our secretary. Stu Sims. I'll put up the name Tim Sutton. He wasn't able to be here today. He has been on the board for 2 years.
I'd love to be chair, but I can't do 8 years. So you got it.
Okay. One spot open, Mr. Granis. Okay. Anybody else? Mr. Domowski?
It sounds like we have this.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to or not? It's up to you.
No, that's
okay. All seven spots, we can elect this as a slate with a 2/3 vote. All those in favor of the slate of potential executive board candidates say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, that. Give it to that Sims guy. Constitutional amendments. We have at least two prospective constitutional amendments. Dr. Glaser, the first one, please.
I'm trying to get this done by 5. Is there a function up here afterwards? Okay.
Article 5, Section 7, subparagraph A3, currently reads, ... Notice of this meeting shall state the time and place of the meeting and shall be mailed to all members of the state central committee at least 10 days prior to the meeting, addressed to the residents of each member, ... I propose to replace that section with this. Notice of this meeting shall state the time and place of the meeting and shall be mailed or emailed to members of the State Central Committee at least 10 days prior to the meeting, addressed to the postal address or email address of each member or in file. That's the end of my proposal. But those set verbiage mimic what we had in for the session for the Central Committee meeting.
Is there a second to this motion? Okay. Would you like to speak to it?
I think I already did.
Okay. Does anybody have any comments for or against, Mr. Linder?
It's a matter of not question. You said email. Are we going to have a repository of email addresses, like, you know, the data? I mean, we had a database. That one consistent with the physical email?
That's what we have.
Is that what we said we're going to notify them? I mean, they have to have been informing us in the current email address correctly all the time. So it starts bouncing back. Does that mean we're definitely going to have to switch to snail mail?
My personal interpretation as secretary is if I choose to use the email notification, I'll send the email to the people that I have emails for. And if it bounced back, I would just mail them a thing in the mail. But that's not written down in the Constitution.
Any other comment? Any for or against? Okay, would you describe the process of what needs to be done for a constitutional amendment?
We vote today. Was it 3/5?
No, it's a majority vote, I believe, for that. Then we have to do the...
Okay, but then at our next Central Committee meeting, we vote for or against.
And it needs 3/4.
We have to have an advisory committee.
Well, we have to have another meeting. We have to form a...
We don't have an advisory committee on this.
Right, a majority vote will give us get it to the point of an advisory committee. Then we will publish the decision of that, and then it requires a 3/4 vote at the next central committee. Okay, all those in favor of taking this to the next step, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, hearing none, the motion passes. We will create an investigative committee after the convention, and it will be published, and then The findings in the newsletter, and then it will be up for vote at the next central committee meeting.
You gotta pick at least three people, I think.
Right. We'll take care of it. We have one more constitutional amendment. Mr. Blitz.
Okay. Did anybody not get a copy of this? Because it's kind of long. That you want one? Okay. One of my projects for 2015 after the General Assembly is over is to work on forming local committees. However, I don't really want to form local parties. I want to form what our constitution calls ad hoc committees. The difference being flexibility, lack of formality, more of a network of people that are organized locally to work. Should they eventually gain the power to be able to handle a treasurer, a chairman, run a full affiliate, more power to them. But, you know, we have two now that are not particularly active. We have Baltimore County and Frederick. Frederick's completely inactive, as far as I know. And before I engaged in the effort of trying to get a lot of people organized to do this, I was concerned that one of the problems would be they could just go and leave our informal process and form a formal affiliate. Because under our constitution right now, they're allowed to. This committee has no say in it. They can just, the people that are members under the, they're part of the membership of the party in the county, they can go and form one. And that worried me because, you know, one of the big debates that Dr. Lark touched on is what is libertarianism mean? And it's, you know, in a presidential cycle where Rand Paul will be the quasi-libertarian as far as the media are concerned and the argument about what that libertarianism means, we could easily see a group that we would not describe as necessarily libertarian form in one of these parties. So I would recommend, and this is what the gist of this constitutional amendment is to restrict those, to bring that power to form a formal affiliate to this central committee. And the way I do it is by amending the section to say that if they can get 25 people that are otherwise qualified to petition this central committee, and the petition has to have certain things. It has to have their signatures, obviously, but it also has to designate who the chairman would be and who the treasurer would be, and provide a copy of their proposed constitution and bylaws, which all of these things need to be done to form a political committee in Maryland anyway. Then they submit it to the chair, who then brings it to this committee at the next regular meeting, or could call one, and by a majority vote, you all would decide whether it's time to form that formal affiliate. It would not impact those two that already exist. And I also provided some other kind of protective language. It allows them to amend their bylaws, which we have to have under Maryland law. It says they'll recognize local central committee to be an affiliate of the Libertarian Party of Maryland, and as such shall be named a Libertarian Party of whatever county. Just because when Frederick did it, it had this rather cumbersome name of the what's that called?
It's Baltimore City and County, actually.
The Frederick one is called the Frederick County Central Committee of the Libertarian Party of Maryland. Hard to put that on a website here. So I wanted some uniformity. I suggest some uniformity. A little more controversial, and I'll tell you that I exchanged emails with some people, and being Ahmed, who, you know, has been with the party for a long time, didn't like this provision. It says a local central committee may not adopt a platform or program that contradicts the state party program. I don't mind if they add new things, but I don't think they should be able to contradict the state party program. If you all don't think that that's appropriate, we can strike that during the committee process, or otherwise, it's just getting your feedback now. Mike, let me just go through what it entails first, and then I'll take questions and comments. A local central committee, a formal committee, cannot charge a fee for membership to be a part of the committee. That's actually the way it works now. We have a sharing provision, but I wanted that to be more explicit. And it missed some things with respect to the fact that they need a treasurer. Some people that I corresponded with didn't like the high number of people on the petition. 25 is what you have to file when you file for a political committee for the state, but that's not exactly clear with respect to third-party affiliates. The statute with respect to local affiliates, county central committees, is really designed for the principal parties and does not very well address our situation. I imagine the Board of Elections just winged it when they received these. But I will mention with respect to that I don't think 25 people is really that many to set up something that is going to have its own treasurer, bank account, has to file regular reports just like we do as a state party. And I'll also mention that Frederick County, when they formed in 2001, had 43 members signed and added on their list. And even with 43 members, they've become a defunct thing. I'm used to dealing, like Dr. Lark, with college groups where they set up a group. Right now we have a UMBC libertarian group. I didn't help set it up, but I also work with a Towson group. And it's only as good as the one person that's really running it, the show, for the most part, and when they graduate, they leave. Well, you know, that can happen with our local parties as well. So I would like us to focus on having informal, very active local participation in local committees, but prevent a little bit their ability to jump up to a formal thing.
Hang on first. Is there a second to this motion?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hearing the second.
Same thing. Could you elaborate a little more on being objections or whatever? And I do tend to agree with having informal groups that are active. It relates to the idea of having people registered and not necessarily members. It actually coalesces with that. I have no problem with that at all. But I want to hear more of
Dean's objection was to my provision that a local central committee may not adopt a platform or program that contradicts the state party program. He says, you know, I run campaigns that I don't like, that I contradict the party program. And I think we should be free, and they should be free to set their own course. I respect that kind of that's their party, let them do their own thing type thing. I mean, it's kind of consistent with the way a lot of people view state affiliates versus the national party. On the other hand, I think we should be wary of groups that may want to just get a group of people together and start calling themselves the Libertarian Party of Howard County.
I think they're trying to do this to prevent abuse from people who are not libertarians.
Or over-exuberant libertarians that might want to just go and do something and then set up an entity and then it just drifts away and becomes nothing, and we have to deal with the fact that the state is now sending reports that you haven't filed your treasurer's report. And
so now it becomes a legal matter.
Somewhat of a legal matter.
It is becoming
a legal matter. They don't have recourse. I don't know that they have recourse against the state party, but...
But it's a blemish on the record,
exactly.
And it's a lot of work and all that.
Okay.
Tagging in with that, could you put in a procedural way of resolving if there is a conflict?
Well, I actually had two other sections added, one for dispute resolution and one for the ability to terminate those parties. I took them out in part because of our chair's remonstration that this thing is a little big and we could be here all day, try to streamline, and so I took those two out. But you could have a... We do not have a formal procedure in that sense, no. My greater concern is what happens when you've got a party that has kind of dissolved and we have no real way of forcing a chair to get rid of that party with the state. And so it just lingers and gets violation notices and things like that. Dr. Lark. Okay.
I think these points too. I think it is different when you're a candidate than having another committee or party. But I also think that the whether two different programs contradict each other is not always going to be completely clear. And it occurs to me that I wouldn't mourn the loss of the non-contradiction part if we did have a provision back in here that allowed the state committee to exercise some sort of discipline to resolve a wayward local committee. And that maybe since we don't have a live problem in this respect right now, the less controversial and more consensus-based way to go would be to strike the provision on non-contradiction and come back at a future meeting and add in the provision for dissolution, which also deals with our de facto debunked, you know.
Are you making that as a motion? It'll be a friendly motion if you do.
Okay. Yeah.
Then I accept that, and we'll strike that language from consideration by the committee.
As a non-party, I kind of like the idea that you put there that they could not create something which contradicts the state program, because they're not just libertarians, they're an affiliate of the Maryland Libertarian Party. So as a brand, what does it look like if we've got a bunch of affiliates, which we would have a bunch of affiliates out there, and they're all contradicting the state? I think they should agree with us. And as a non-attorney, I would think if there's no other language in the Constitution, it will be the state central committee that will get to decide such a thing.
So would you offer that as a friendly amendment?
I would think that as your original one.
Okay, so
I just want to be clear. The only thing we're voting on today is whether we go to the next step with this.
Correct.
We're not really debating the wording today. That's what the next step is.
You
know,
well, you are debating the wording. The advisory committee is supposed to give advice.
No, this is it. The words that come out today either get voted up or down.
Okay, so the advisory committee just says yay or nay, and then it comes back to you in the next central committee meeting for a vote. So this is, I guess, the way to resolve language differences.
Okay, then I'm going to have to be aggressive here that we should have some kind of say as a party of the state over affiliates, because they are affiliates of us.
Lorenzo.
Well, you know, I'm a rent-a-cop. My running mate is a trucker, so but, you know, I understand the concern that the party is something too powerful.
Oh, Mike didn't write the check yet.
So I don't think his concerns and his statements are really so much against what you're trying to do as just a concern as to, you know, this is tricky. I think it's tricky. Okay? Now, you're
you're a lawyer.
I'm a render cop. What do I know? But anyway, we need to protect the integrity of the organization. I completely agree with you. I mean, you would never get me to disagree with that. I've had some ugly fights with some people over that. Okay? Again, very ugly. So, I think that in general terms, I tend to agree with what you're trying to do. Okay? Everything that we do, if we're open, it will always be open to revision, depending how things work out. I mean, because we're dealing with a little minefield. It's a minefield.
Excuse me, as the Grand Poobah, I would like to interject. I would ask Dr. Lark to come up and chair the meeting, since I am the chair and Eric is the vice chair. Therefore, there is no third in line that I know of, so I would like Dr. Lark to because I would like to offer a motion. Normally, when the chair wants to make a motion, then you call on the vice chair to take over the meeting. But since the vice chair is a principal in this discussion, this is why I invited Dr. Lark.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
A point of information. We're supposed to be out of here at 5, and we still have a little more work to do. Number two, since this is a lengthy motion, it certainly has merits to it. I would ask that we postpone this until the next Central Committee meeting. This can be discussed through email and brought up so we can get this right. Like Dr. Glazer, our secretary, said, this is our one shot to get the language down correct. The advisory committee can only give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So what I would recommend is that we postpone this, discuss it through different channels until the next Central Committee meeting, and take from there.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
It's been moved. Is there a second? It's been seconded. Do you need to speak?
I've said my piece.
Would anyone else like to speak? We have a motion.
The only thing is that we kind of like to hear other people's comments, because this is the best chance to hear people's substantive comments, because quite frankly they may not bother
would the gentleman be willing to withdraw his motion for 5 minutes and then bring it forward?
5 minutes, especially with people who have not spoken or barely spoken on this issue before.
Hearing none, sir.
Yeah. My concern is that maybe one of these affiliates comes up with a better idea that is in conflict with what is an existing idea. And how do we get to that better idea if we're nailed in to staying with what we got?
There's nothing here that says they can't come to a meeting and say, hey, we'd like to do this. Is there any way we can change?
Okay, so
that's,
there is a procedure in place, then, which was my original question.
There's a procedure. It's a little bit cumbersome in that it's a program committee that it essentially meets once a year.
Ma'am? Yes, please. Ma'am, could you speak up so that everyone can hear you?
Would it make any difference if we change the language from negative to affirmative, basically saying that we are an affiliate of this
The reason I use the negative is it's kind of easier to see a direct conflict as opposed to what's consistent. I mean, libertarian. And argue over what is the correct application of any particular higher order principle. So that's why I use the negative. But I mean, it's just as valid as a mechanism, really. One of the other things I've heard is you could go with Mark's approach, which doesn't say anything on it, but have a provision that allows the party to terminate. But the thing's like a nuclear option. We don't like your program, and therefore we're going to terminate you as a party.
Excuse me, just tell me what's going on. Yes, sir.
I just want to say I'm really in favor of this idea of, to have central committees as part of a county without having to do the paperwork and formally produce a group. As someone who's created a group, especially and has paid fines for not filing, it's a real hassle. And it's too much overhead. And I don't think, I think 25 is a pretty high number, especially for a county like mine, like Cecil County. But to your point, if you have 25 good members that are willing to carry the burden, it seems like it's a good threshold to make.
Any Did you wish to respond, Tom?
Mark.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think I was just going to respond to the nuclear option comment, which is that presumably you wouldn't exercise the option unless it were a really serious conflict. My concern is that when you say, you know, that we use force only in cases of genuine defense, and then somebody comes up with a comment about Syria or something, I mean, you know, as exactly what you said, the application of higher order principles may be contested. I think we want to allow some kind of variation, and yet we want to avoid having the party hijacked. So putting a nuclear option in there, and one that we know is serious and will only be exercised with constraints, strikes me as a pretty good
option. Let me just throw out there, even arguing against my own language, is there some value to trusting the political process? That is, we have this same risk with our program now. A bunch of people show up to this meeting, to the program committee meeting, or even to a committee meeting and kind of overwhelm our numbers and get all kinds of things done. Kind of need to trust the political process to say, okay, if we start seeing a whole bunch of faces showing up on the rolls and we think something's going on, we're going to put all hands on deck. We need everybody at this meeting. It forced that kind of doctrinal purity or doctrinal adherence to through the political process rather than the mechanism.
Before I recognize the real chairman, the co-chairman will observe. It's interesting that you are having this discussion because in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Libertarian Party of Virginia, we have been going through a very interesting and at times rather nasty problem. We have an affiliate that is in many ways our largest and most active affiliate, which frequently, I'll name names, the Tidewater Libertarian Party, which is in Virginia Beach and Norfolk. In June of last year, we actually considered essentially removing their affiliate status because they were taking positions, or some of their officers had engaged in actions that many state central committee members felt were inappropriate. So if I may be so bold as to offer a suggestion, this is something you want to get right the first time because it can cause all manner of problems. And I don't think there's a right answer. At least we haven't found one in Virginia. Are there any further comments before I recognize the chairman? Hearing none, Johnson.
Okay. Well, I would ask the vice chair to withdraw his motion so that this may be debated on and brought up at the next central committee meeting where we can get the language incorrect.
Yes, sir. Is there an objection?
Well, not really a request. To see the other two sections also before them. So,
the chair will interpret that as a request for information that will be presumably provided. All right. So, without objection, the motion has been withdrawn. Mr. Chairman, would you like to resume?
Indeed, and thank you, Dr. Lark. And again, this is not against, I'm not against Eric. I think this is a good idea. I'm well aware of what's been going on in the Tidewater area. We have a potential state affiliate which is going to try to legally dissociate from the National Party, which is going to be pretty ugly. This battle's been going on for 3 or 4 years, and it has not gone away anytime soon. Am I correct, Dr. Lark?
Unfortunately, you probably are.
So this does have merit. We just want to get the language correct. Dr. Glazer. I'm sorry? Right. Okay.
I'm offering to be on the investigation.
Okay.
A group to meet
right. I think I'm automatically on it. Mr. Quinn, and what we need at least one more non-officer. I don't remember the specific. It was like 3 people, the chair and 2 others, and 2 people who were not on the executive board. In the meantime, while we're taking care of that, I would like to... Okay, I would also like to invite Dr. Sten to come up briefly to discuss a project he's working on.
Okay.
This is Dave Sten. Dave is a former chair of the state party. He and his lovely wife Renee have hosted picnics up at their palatial place on the Elk River. Fantastic. And our second biggest monthly pledger, hint, hint. And please welcome Dave.
Thank you. Okay, so I have the great opportunity with my third master's I'm working on is the thesis. While I just kind of integrate libertarian party stuff with academic stuff. And so what I came up with, we need to tweak our registration, voter registration. So the idea is, how do we do that? Who do we target? What's the best strategy for that? So I figured, okay, well, part of my thesis will be a research study to be just that. What is the most cost-effective manner of increasing voter registration in the state of Maryland? So,
voter registration in general or libertarian?
Voter registration for libertarians. Boosting libertarians with the objective of getting the Libertarian Party up to that 1% threshold in the long term. But in the short term, can we devise a strategy of how that could be done? So, what I did is I contributed money, which now appears as the research services. That'd be used to send out mailers, do Facebook advertisements, and whatnot to see if I have a targeted area that's the size of a precinct and a non-targeted precinct that's identical and won't be influenced by the marketing campaign. What kind of lift do I get from that campaign, and what was the cost? So we can put a dollar value per registration. And so we can get an idea, well, maybe if we can hire someone who's really good at boosting registration as a face-to-face person, we got an idea of what that dollar value really is. And also, the idea down the future, or in the future, if we needed to boost registration, what's that dollar value? What do we need to raise and have to go about doing? This particular research program has to be done and in the can by the end of April. That's my deadline. So within the next couple weeks, I'll actually start it, get the campaign going, and then 2 weeks after that, review what the list was and report it on. So that's it in a nutshell.
Any questions or comments for Dave?
What county is the precinct?
I haven't established yet. I think certain one of them will be in Cecil County so that I can monitor it directly. Because part of it, I want to have some type of face-to-face voter registration drive, so that make a commitment for me, I'll make it something local. But then the others would be, I don't know. At one time, I thought maybe it would be somewhere where I think there might be a future campaign going on. Yeah.
There is a movement afoot in Baltimore City, Baltimore City registrations. Some people, Democrats, died-in-the-wool Democrats, who are just appalled by the fact that Democratic candidates are being elected with very small numbers of voters, dwindling numbers of voters, and they see the lack of legitimacy in that, even if it's people their own party. Doc Cheney, he contacted me a couple months ago, less than that, actually. And maybe, I'm thinking, I'll give you a call, and maybe you can work on that. Because this would be about increasing voters in Baltimore City, not just necessarily libertarians, but voters. And it would be if I do indeed run for mayor in Baltimore City in, next year, that I'd like to be the center of my campaign. I don't care what they get registered as. Mm-hmm. They need to get registered. Because it's an amazing thing. I mean, people getting into office in landslides based on 28% of potential voters. It's just sick, and even the dyed-in-the-wool machine Democrats are really very upset about that. Because they know it's wrong. They know in their gut that it's wrong.
What I'll be providing to the user, or to the target audience, is a form to
change the registration. Do you mind if I give Doc your name and
just so you understand, mine is targeted for libertarian registration. It's the purpose, but however the person does, how a person runs with it, is
he and his organization could run with it any way he wants to.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions for Dave? Thank you very much, Dr. Sten. Yeah.
Any Tim was on this, and the investigating committee were not on the board.
Okay. Dave wanted to be one of them.
Yeah.
and Jack Jones. We'll meet briefly right after the meeting. You know, the floor is open for new business.
I need anybody that wants to participate in discussions about this constitutional amendment come over and give me their email so I can include you in the chain of correspondence back and forth about that. Second, OAI is again looking for somebody to take over Maryland. OAI is Gary Johnson's Our America Initiative. They run programs to influence public policy. If you're interested in doing that kind of thing in Maryland, come up and I'll give you the contact information.
We're good.
Eric, how come everybody on the central committee and stuff, you're not emailing this constitutional amendment in the first place, asking for comments?
Primarily because it only gets sent to the central committee, I believe, after the advisory committee. There's no official exchange system for those things. I sent it around to the executive board and a few key people that I have corresponded with about other constitutional amendments. I can't send it to the whole central committee.
Okay.
Does anybody have a motion? Okay, is there a second? Okay.
I wanted to make a real quick comment.
Yes.
If I could. Wanted to thank among some of our guests that were here today, namely Tim Rutledge from Cecil County. I'm sorry, I forgot your name again.
Kelly.
From Frederick. You look
big.
Yeah, Jason. Wonderful. Okay.
Jason, he worked on Sean's campaign.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. We had a couple.
Yeah.
About four people from Baltimore City, and maybe a couple of fellow from Spain.
Mm-hmm. Cesar.
He already left.
Yeah.
But just wanted to thank them. And last but not least, thank you for your stupendous effort.
Indeed.
In organizing this campaign.
Thank you, everybody, for coming up. I think I'm the second longest chair now next to Mike Fellows in Montana. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I am. Dr. Glacier, do you have any announcements?
Yes. If anybody wants a license plate application, I have them on me. I can fill it out right now for you. And I still have these wonderful caps for the MLP for sale in Frank and Hopkins.
Mr. Linder.
Everybody with a main badge, if you want, please take a piece of paper out of the paper from the mail sink, but the plastic container will take back to the OEK. Go in the box. I believe Dr. Glacier, if you don't like your picture, don't have a problem with just take a photo of it.
I also would like to thank Kim. Kim is here, helps us out every year at the convention. Squire's the staff is great. We're really easy to deal with. Thank you as always. And we always run late and they never complain. Any other announcements before we adjourn? Hearing none, the meeting's adjourned.